السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we have been discussing these verses of the Quran Sharif. Who are those that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala declares will be getting Jannat in the hereafter? Those who have sold their lives and their properties in exchange for Jannat. What are their sifats? What are their attributes? We have discussed some part of it. Now let us get on to Al-Amiruna bil-Ma'roof wa-Nahuna anil-Munkar. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that if they are believers, then they have this sifat in them that they invite towards good and they prohibit from evil. Now this is something that you have been listening for ages, that we have been created for what purpose? Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. The ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the best of all ummats. And of course, in particular, it refers to the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were the best of ummah. Why were we created? Ukhrijat linnas, for the benefit of mankind. Allah Ta'ala created this ummah for the benefit of mankind, not for selfish interests. To eat, to drink, to conduct one's business, to marry, and to do all other mundane things, that is part of life. We are living in this world, so that is part of our life. We have to eat, we have to drink, we have to marry, we have to conduct and run our businesses. But that is not maqsad, it is not the objective of our life. Objective, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, you invite towards good, you prohibit from evil. You give da'wat towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Da'wat towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak Deen. Da'wat towards the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Da'wat towards transactions according to Sharia. Da'wat towards abstinence from sins, from haram, from evil. Therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, you invite towards good and you prohibit evil. If the person does not have this invitation towards good, and if he does not have this forbidding of evil in his life, then he cannot declare himself as being from khayre ummat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that this must be in the person's life. It is the sifat of a Muslim, of a mu'min, that he must call towards good. Of course, we look at it in a very narrow context, that only if it is done in a particular manner, then that is Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar. Whereas it is from our individual life, collective, in the society, nationally, internationally, to whatever extent a person can invite towards good and prohibit from evil, he must engage in that. But it begins from the home where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves, O you believers, and your families from the azab of Jahannam. The area that is most neglected is our own families, our own homes, our own children. We are so scared these days to even tell our sons or our daughters that this is haram. This is something that Allah is displeased with. If you are going to indulge in this, then it is going to bring wrath of Allah Ta'ala. And invite them towards good, that if you are going to read salat, if you are going to give zakat, if you are going to fast, If you are going to read the Quran Sharif, if you are going to be helpful to the poor, to the needy, to the destitute, then what are the rewards that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give you? Now this is something that has become non-existent in our walimas, in our marriages, in our parties, birthday parties and all other parties that we have. Hours and hours will go in discussing everything else. But if somebody just has to start talking about deen, then they say that he spoiled the color of our whole majlis, made everything go sour. The enjoyment and the fun and the pleasure that we were having was all lost because this person now started talking about the Quran and about the Sunnah. Now we don't say that the person must talk the whole 2 hours about Quran and Sunnah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, he participated in the talks of the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in when they used to discuss about the days of Jahiliyyah and they used to discuss about other mundane matters. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam remained silent and he listened to them. And if there was any nasihat to be given, then he gave to them that nasihat. As long as it was not against the Quran and Sunnah, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also participated in such talk to show that there is a category which we term as mubah talk, where the person doesn't get any sin and he doesn't even get any sawab. It is permissible. In fact, even that mubah talk, if the person does it with the niyat of putting happiness into somebody's heart, it becomes ibadat. He knows that this person, his lifestyle is fast cars and business and other things. So for a little while he talks to him in that line about his business, about his cars. And his niyat is to draw him towards the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So then this discussion also is fruitful, it is rewarding. Nevertheless, what I am getting at is that in this society of ours at present, this Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar, it has become almost non-existent. We have it in some categories here and there, that the Jamaat will move around calling towards good in prohibiting from evil, or the Ulama will be giving bayans and waaz and nasihat calling towards good prohibiting from evil, or in the Madaris and the Khanqahs they will be inviting towards good and prohibiting from evil. But in every individual's life, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not talking about some exclusive club here. He's talking about every individual has to have in his life that concern that he himself must do that which is good and stay away from evil, and also call others towards good and prohibit them from evil. If not, then what is going to happen? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that do this, call towards good, stop from evil. If not, then the time will come. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send his azab. Then even your pious ones will make dua, but their duas are not going to be accepted. No matter how much duas after that people will make, if they are not going to make amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar, then those duas are not going to be accepted. At present, we have so much of duas being made at the Haram Sharif, at the Multazam, in Madina Sharif, in Arafat, in Mina, in Muzdalifah, during the Hajj times. How much of duas are being made? Why is it that the Ummah's problems are not being solved? Yes, that individual's problem could be solved. That individual who cried, who showed concern, who invited towards good, who prohibited evil, to some extent his problems will get solved. But the Ummah's problem at large, the whole Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, their problems cannot be solved until the large part of the Ummah starts calling towards good and prohibiting from evil. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was ordered that topple a certain city, topple it upside down, destroy them, in other words, destroy the people of that city. So Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, but Ya Rasulullah, but Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh Allah, in that city there is one very pious person. He hasn't disobeyed you for a single moment. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, together with him, topple everybody, destroy everybody together with him. So Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, what was the reason for that? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, that this person, he was very pious, he didn't disobey, I'm giving you the meaning. But, inna wajhahu lam yatama'ar fiyya sa'atan qattu. That when he was watching all those sins, it didn't change the color of his face. He didn't even bring a frown on his forehead. He didn't feel any kind of pain and hurt in his heart that what is happening before my very eyes. He was just concerned about his own salat, own zakat, own ibadat. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, this person together with him topple everybody because he showed no concern. Now sometimes some people quote this hadith in the wrong context, in the wrong place. Our buzrugs, our akabir, our great walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who may be doing work through the khanqas or through other means, of madaris and masajid, then we say that they are very pious, but they are not doing the work as it should be done, so therefore it is referring to them. Brothers, they are crying day and night for the ummah. They are concerned. They are using whatever ability they have to draw the people towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala and to change the condition of their lives. When they see haram before their eyes, it hurts them. Frown on their forehead is not all. Late night, they shed tears. They invite individually or collectively or by waaz, by nasihat or in whichever way towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So it's not referring to them. Here we are talking about that person who is only concerned that he is making his ibadat, zikr, tilawat. To hell with everybody else. Let them go to hell. So we are talking about those people. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that that person, no frown came on his forehead. His color of the face never changed. You never found any kind of agitation in his heart that how can I stop these things happening. Allah ta'ala does not send arm azab. Azab which is common to everybody. His punishment and wrath which engulfs everybody. Allah Ta'ala does not let that happen. Until and unless sins are committed before a person who has the ability to stop that and he does not stop it. When he does not stop it, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends an azab in which all of them become engulfed. And if you have to look at ourselves in the light of this Hadith Sharif, how many sins are being committed before our very eyes in our homes, right in our very homes, and we have the ability to stop. Nay, we will not stop that. Forget about stopping, we will participate in it. That Hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam again, where besides other things he said, then what will be your condition? When you will stop calling towards good and preventing from evil. The Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, his beloved companions, because in their lives it was all the time calling towards good, calling towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala, calling towards the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will a time come we will stop calling towards good and preventing evil? Said, yes. And even worse than that, Naam wa Ashad, what will be your condition? When you will call, in other words, the ummah later on, the generations to follow, the people that will come in latter times like us, say, what will be your condition? That means the condition of the ummah, when you will invite towards evil, and when you will prohibit that which is good. The people will be calling towards evil. They will say that this ideology must change. You are living in the camel age. You are orthodox. And they will give all kinds of titles. You must change your ideology. You must accommodate the changing trends. In a cutting in last night's newspaper, the editorial, which I read, in there, what does the editor say? This, to give you the gist of that. He says that this marriages which have now been legalized, homosexual marriages, these marriages which have been legalized, the judge has passed the ruling. So he says, in South Africa we have major problems and we have come across major hurdles. So we must now discuss this issue rationally. And we must not be narrow-minded. We must accommodate all the different ideologies and the different viewpoints and the different cultures and the different tastes. In other words, we must accept it. How long are you going to keep on rejecting it in the light of your Quran or your Sharia? Or the religious leaders are going to keep on rejecting it in the light of their scriptures. We must now accept it. Now this is what is going to happen. That they will make us accept whatever is happening. It will become like the norm of the society. Therefore even last night in the majlis of zikr I mentioned these points. That at present if we have to look at it in this month of December, what else is there that we are being invited towards except sins, sins and sins. Nothing but sins. commit zina of the eyes in abundance, come and watch all the filth that is going to take place around. Come to this clubhouse, come to this cinema, come to this dance, come to this musical show, come to this swimming contest, come to this contest and that contest. In other words, we are being invited from all sides towards nothing but sins. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that what will be your condition? That you will invite towards haram. You will invite towards sins. And you will stop people from doing that which is good. In other words, you will criticize them, you will mock them, you will tease them, you will laugh at them, the person who is doing good. The Sahaba ikram asked, Ya Rasulullah, will such a time also come? He said, Naam wa ashad, yes, and even worse. What will be your condition when you will consider the evil as good and the good as evil? When the person will say that this is good, you say, no, that's evil. A 14, 15-year-old girl writes that we have 5 television sets in our home. And in the month of Ramadan, I heard your program over the radio station. And I decided to give up this bad and evil habit of mine of watching those soaps and those filthy films which I used to watch and I was addicted to. So I started abstaining. So my father, who used to sit with us all the time, and we used to watch together, when I started restraining myself, so he came down like a ton of bricks on me. Like, what is happening to you? Now this is what I'm getting at, that leave alone inviting towards good and prohibiting evil. We are inviting now towards evil, that child, we are unconcerned. And then he says that even that my father even sits and he tells my other sisters and the other children, he explains that whole story that's going on. Why I'm mentioning this is not to run down anybody. If that person, of course, is a girl, is not from this city. But to give this message loud and clear that if this is going to be the condition, that we are hurt when our children want to restrain themselves from haram, then who do we blame? How long are we going to blame the schools and the colleges and the universities and everywhere else? Put the blame on somebody else's shoulder. If we are going to have 5 television sets in our own homes, do we expect rahmat angels to come there? And then we say jadu is being done. There's so much of dispute between husband and wife, so much of friction, so much of fights and quarrels and arguments. And we went to that Taweez wala and he said that definitely there's great amount of jadu and seher that has been done. Put one Taweez on the ceiling, one on the right wall, one on the left wall, and tie 10 on yourself. And all the azab of Allah will go away. With the ta'weezes, we think we are going to ward off all the azab of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that a people will be passing their time in what? In entertainment. They will be drinking, they will be gambling, they will be singing, they will be engaged in all kinds of haram. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then shake the ground beneath their feet and those homes will sink into the ground. Then they themselves will disappear from the surface of the earth. And some of them, their faces, Allah Ta'ala will turn to that of pigs and that of monkeys. So the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu majma'in asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why will this happen? For what reason will this happen? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, because of drinking, of gambling, because of the breaking up of family relationship, they will be wearing pure silk clothes, the menfolk. And they will be keeping singing girls, in other words, entertaining themselves, musical shows as we may call it in our days. Singing girls, those days they had to hire those girls to come and sing for them. But these days you just need a flick of this button and you can get any amount of singing girls on the television screen or in the cinema, or go to those musical shows. He says they will be engaged in all those things and suddenly Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send such an azab that there will be complete metamorphosis. Their faces will change to that of pigs and monkeys. Now we must not get shocked and think that this is something that is unbelievable. How can a human being who has already got a face of a human being suddenly turn to that of a monkey or turn to that of a pig? Where did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fathom our shapes and our faces? And where did He give us these features? in the mother's stomach. Huwallazi yusawwirukum fil arhami kayfa yasha. In the mother's womb, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, look at the faces that He gave to different people. And who is it that gave to the monkey the face of a monkey? And who is it that gave to the dog the face of a dog? And who is it that gave to the pig the face of a pig? So if that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has to order that these people now they have exceeded the limits, therefore immediately after that ayat Allah ta'ala says, وَالْحَافِزُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ, that these people are very, very particular about the boundaries that Allah ta'ala has placed, that they don't cross that. There's plenty of scope for enjoyment in Sharia. There's so much. A person can enjoy so much remaining within those parameters of Sharia. So these people, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will destroy them. And to some, for some, Allah ta'ala will cause the stones to rain upon them. And that is what happened to the Qawme Lut, which indulged in homosexual relationship. So my dear brothers, we are living in times of fitna. We are living in times of fitna. And from all sides we are being bombarded and lashed. Storms of fitnas are lashing at us. And yet we are unconcerned. We are only concerned that the Muslim Ummah is suffering. That is there in its place. That we are concerned about the suffering of the Muslim Ummah, which is in its place. And it's a very good concern, and it is one of the traits of a Muslim and a Mu'min to be concerned. But why is all this happening? Why are the du'as not being accepted for the whole Ummah? Individual du'as for the individual problems can be accepted. But for the whole Ummah, until we don't get back to Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, individually, collectively, whichever way, in our homes, in our businesses, in our society, in our locality, whichever way we call it, all the time the concern is that the person must come towards deen, come towards Allah Ta'ala, give up his evil, come out of his haram. Then see how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will change the condition in that locality also. And then if it comes in the nation, Allah Ta'ala will change the nation. But it must not be selective, that just salat, just zakat, just a little bit of zikr, tilawat and deen work, that is not what we are talking about. We are talking about bringing the whole of deen into our lives. And that is not a difficult thing. Allah Ta'ala would not have made things compulsory if it was beyond our capabilities. But wherever it suits us or where it is easy, then that is what we will do. But wherever the pain comes on the heart because we have to give up something that is haram and forbidden, then they will find excuses, will justify it. And I conclude on this, that whatever it is, my respected brothers, remember one thing, that sin is something that is detested by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But when a person brags about his sin, when he brags about his sin, when he justifies his sin, and when he has absolutely no qualms about his pictures appearing in the newspapers, being in casinos, in discos, in rave clubs, in this place, in that place, and sometime with his wife, and sometime with his daughters, and sometime with his sisters, and they express great happiness also. Did you see my picture in the Sunday Times? Did you see my picture in the Sunday Tribune? Did you see my picture in that newspaper? Then that is the danger signal. That now the person is expressing happiness over his sins. Then just find out from those very people who are expressing such kind of happiness in such kind of advertisement of their sins. Dig a little into their lives and come back and tell me, are they having happy lives, enjoyable life, pleasant life, or their lives are in ruin? Outwardly they can show whatever picture they wish to, but go and look into their homes, what is the condition of their lives? Absolutely restless. Children are gone onto drugs or drink or vices and evils and have become a headache for those parents. And sometimes other things are happening. Every day I get calls, every day I reply to letters, and every day I deal with cases. So I'm not telling you stories or hearsay things. So let us not displease our Creator, the one who has blessed us with our sight, with our hearing, with our speech, with that wealth. And with that same those bounties He has blessed us with, we use the very same thing for His disobedience. Now this is not befitting a mu'min and Muslim. So don't despair of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. He is very forgiving, very merciful. If He has still given us life, then it means that He is still giving us an opportunity to repent, to change, to come back to Him. He wants to give us the namats and blessings of this world and the akhirat. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the trials, the tribulation that the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is suffering around the globe. And may He give us the tawfiq to put our lives in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah, so that we become recipients of His namats and bounties and blessings in this world and the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.